In the holy name of Jesus, amen. You are what you eat. You are what you consume. What you ingest has effect on you. We know that's true of food, but what about consuming what the world has to offer rather than what God has to offer? Sinful flesh consumes selfishly. Example number one. The rich man from the gospel lesson feasted sumptuously each day. The text suggests that this was a huge feast, like a wedding feast. He had elegantly royal clothing unworthy to share. He consumed the pleasures of rich life. He loved himself more than others, even those who were left begging at the gates of his house, where Lazarus was just looking for crumbs from the feast. But the rich man's sinful flesh was too corrupt to even keep Lazarus company, even saying hello. He idolized his life of never-ending feasts. He didn't help his neighbor in his physical need. The rich man demonstrated the corruption of his sinful heart, as his love was inwardly focused, not outwardly focused. He didn't care for life. He cared for a life filled with pleasures. That left Lazarus lonely. Lazarus only had a few dogs who licked his sores to keep him company. Lazarus was a reject, an outcast, a project no one wanted to take on. The vastness of the rich man's unrepentant sins landed him in hell. He consumed himself in sin to satisfy his earthly life, resulting in an eternal torture, anguish, in the fiery flames of dissatisfaction. That's what landed the rich man in hell. He consumed what sinful flesh consumes. He gave into his fleshly sinful appetite instead of hungering and thirsting for righteousness. He listened to his sinful heart of stone, ignoring his Creator, who wished to give a new life, a soft heart of flesh regenerated by God's Spirit. As a result, he neglected the worth of human life when he neglected his needy neighbor, Lazarus. But those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. That is, those who consume what God gives shall rest at Abraham's side in heaven. As the joys and pleasures in heaven are given abundantly and bountifully to those whose entire earthly lives sought this satisfaction. That's what happened to Lazarus. Lazarus, though hungering and thirsting on earth, now sits at the heavenly banquet table described in Isaiah 25, 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up death forever. In heaven, Lazarus consumes the feast which has no end. The rich man wanted to warn his family about the dangers of consuming worldly things versus heavenly things, but God assures him that they wouldn't listen to him even if he rose from the dead. Because why would they listen to the rich man when Moses and the prophets have already warned them? The rich man didn't want to consume the word of God. Rather, he consumed the idols of the world. Sinful flesh consumes selfishly. Example number two, the situation with George Floyd. The tragedy in Minnesota a few weeks ago was horrific and demonstrates society's carelessness with life. The police officer, Derek Chauvin, kneeling on Floyd's neck, broke the fifth commandment, acting outside of the God-given bounds to work within his vocation as police officer. The fifth commandment is this: you shall not murder. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. He killed a fellow brother, someone who bore the image of God, someone who's a part of the human race, a descendant of Noah. Chauvin, a sinner, consumed with sin, disregarded the life of his neighbor. Our sinful flesh consumes selfishly. Example number three, you and me. Why? Because we're sinners. We cannot rid ourselves of the desire to sin. Because of original sin, our inclination is and always will be to sin. Though our sins may not be as visibly egregious as murder, our sins may more closely mirror the sin of the rich man. That is, our sins may not look like actively killing anybody, but it may look like neglecting the hungry, the impoverished, and other outcasts of society. Said another way, our sin may be doing nothing at all. I'm not saying we should go on Facebook and start virtue signaling, but help and be of service to those God has placed in your lives. Because we're too focused upon the idol of self to recognize when our neighbor is in need. When we try to get the speck out of our neighbor's eye, while the enormous log is jutting out of our own eye. Whether we're too busy consuming the sins of adultery or sexual sins in general, gossip, greed, power, hunger, lack of humility, the list goes on. Sinful acts aren't permissible, and they deserve punishment, especially presently in God's left-hand kingdom. But sinners can't overcome sin. There can be governmental reforms, protests, etc. But the problem will always remain because sinful flesh still remains. Dead people can't raise dead people. We are dead in our sins, and we dead people can't give ourselves new life. And we can't get a new life and a new will to do good from anyone else but God. That's what the rich man found out in hell. Only God can raise dead, sinful people. Only he can convert dead people through his word. Sinful flesh acts like the rich man, neglecting God's gift of life given to each human being. Because disregard for life is ingrained in our society. Abortion, euthanasia, mercy killings, suicide, gang violence, using people to climb the economic ladder. Unwanted life is seen as a leech, sucking money, resources, and pleasures from me in my life. That's the mentality of the rich man in the gospel lesson. And that's the mentality of you and me. It seems in the last few weeks, reading news articles about George Floyd's unjust death, updates on the spread of the coronavirus, and the political parties drawn in the sand from it all, we've deemed worthy of our consumption. Whether we try to avoid reading news articles about it or not, we still hear about it. Facebook, your friends, your family. Regardless, it seems like our sinful flesh can't get enough. Our sinful flesh can't get enough of the catchy headlines and news articles. And because of sinful flesh, we'd rather consume what the world tells us instead of listening to what God tells us by engaging His Holy Scripture. Because instead of listening to what God has to say about the situation, we'd rather read op-ed columns and news desk debates on TV. What does God say? First commandment, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? You should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Fifth commandment, you shall not murder. The seventh commandment, you shall not steal. The fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And Luther explains that to mean also those who have authority over you. But God's law shows that our sinful human hearts don't fear, love, and trust in God above all things. It reveals that our hearts are full of idolatry, murder, greed, evil. And no matter what, sinful flesh seeks to corrupt God's gifts meant for good. And that reveals the true corruption of the sinful heart. That original sin has tainted the world to desire to rebel against God. We'd rather consume the world's words rather than God's words. Can we fix our problems? Can the generic good in people overcome the evil in the world? Though sinners are helpless to change themselves, we aren't without hope. Because our sins and transgressions have been placed upon our Savior, who loves our sin-filled lives above His own. He sacrificed His life for ours on the cross. Even though He didn't deserve punishment, because He treated all life with dignity. Nonetheless, He died for your sin while you were still sinners. And He put to death all your sin so that you may be made alive from your graves of sin. And through this, He generously pours out His grace, mercy, and love on you through the cross. Through the giving of God's divine triune name at holy baptism, through the forgiveness of sins pronounced in the liturgy, through the preaching of Christ crucified in the sermon, through the receiving of Christ's very own body and blood, God renews us to love our neighbor. He sends the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, full of love towards our neighbor, as we recognize that they bear the image of God, making them worthy of our love. So when you're tempted to cave into our fleshly appetites, especially when it comes at the neglect of God and neighbor, remember that you're freed from your sinful flesh. When you consume things of the world instead of consuming the word of God, which saves unto life everlasting, remember that you've been freed of your inclinations to reject God's gifts. And remember, instead of using your freedom from sin to consume more sin, use your freedom to love. Because your freedom from your sin was costly. It came at the expense of God's life. And that's why our freedom isn't used to enslave ourselves once again in the consumption of sin. Rather, our freedom is used to consume God's love and bear that love. For we love because he first loved us. After all, you are what you consume. But when we neglect our neighbor in their body, or when we harm those who bear the image of God, or when life itself is disregarded, our Lord is there to forgive. He's here to give life to our death-filled souls. Now come and consume the gifts of God flowing from this altar, so that God may renew you to live a life of faith, love, joy, and selflessness as you consume love itself. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.